And I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. It was just crazy. We looked at each other like, what?
Are we really ready for this moment? Like, we were so excited and like we knew it was gonna happen. But then in that moment of like, holy cow, like this is actually happening.
I took that onesie and I made a cute little sign that said, hi, daddy, I can't wait to meet you. And I put the positive test and I laid it all out on our dining room table. And then I sat for like 2 hours.
You've landed on the From Bumps to Birth podcast. I'm your host, Ricky Hamley. As a crazy mom of six and a diehard birth geek, I created this space for parents to come and share their unique journeys to parenthood. Whether it's been smooth sailing or bumps along the way, there's no journey alike. So help me in honoring these stories and sit back, relax, and let your inner birth geek indulge.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Frankie with us and you may recognize her. She shared her first birth story with us a while back. She's the personality behind Hypnobirthing Company on Instagram. But she's here today to share with us her recent home birth story. So yeah, without further ado, Frankie, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I have two daughters and I have been married for 3 years now and with my partner for 13 years. My newest daughter was born just over 3 weeks ago. So yeah, that's the birth story I'm going to tell you about today. We decided that we would have more children after my first, but we weren't really sure how long to wait, but we thought maybe a few years. But we actually got pregnant 4 months after I had my oldest daughter. It was a big surprise to us. A couple of days before Christmas, I sort of realized I hadn't had a period, and maybe I was due to have one, but I thought it just must be, you know, getting back into my cycle after having my daughter. And I wasn't really too concerned about it, but I thought, oh, this is strange that I've not had a period in so long. Let's do a test because I'm definitely not pregnant, but doing a test will just really confirm that for me. So yeah, I think it was the 3 or 4 days before Christmas, I did a test and it came up with the darkest double red lines that I have ever seen on a test. And I tried for a long time to get pregnant with my oldest and I'd done a lot of pregnancy tests and I would, even the positive ones came up so faint that, you know, you'd hold them up to the light and get the torch on there to try and think if it was positive or not. This time, man, it was a dark red line straight away. And I was just in absolute shock that, you know, I was pregnant again. I'd had no other symptoms, no other signs, nothing. So yeah, we took a few more tests just to confirm that I actually was pregnant. And it was just a huge shock, a happy shock, but it really took me some time to get my head around that. And I also had like the typical mum guilt of, you know, oh no, am I going to take away from my daughter by being pregnant and having another child so soon? But it didn't take long for me to sort of realize that this was a really positive thing for her as well. So yeah, my husband was super happy, overjoyed. He had always said we'd have more children. So for him, it was not an issue at all that we were pregnant so quickly. Yeah, we went for an early scan and actually found out that we were a little bit more pregnant than I thought. I think I thought at that time I was about 5 weeks and we were actually 7 weeks. And then at our 12-week scan, again, I thought it was 12 weeks and we were actually 13 weeks. So the pregnancy sort of flew by. And also having a child already, I think maybe second and third pregnancies, fourth pregnancies fly by because you're just so busy. And yeah, had a pretty positive, healthy pregnancy, no issues at all. The morning sickness actually was not as bad this time round. And I generally just felt pretty good throughout the whole pregnancy. obviously with the global pandemic that happened, things were very different, and my husband was off work for 3 months, which was actually really nice for us and for me to have a little bit of help looking after our oldest daughter whilst I was pregnant. And we spent a lot of like quality family time together, and in that time she learned to walk, and it was really sort of nice to have that bonding time as a three before the new baby came along. I was under a consultant care. So in the UK, through the NHS, if you have any risk factors in your pregnancy, you often get put under the care of a consultant doctor rather than just the midwives. And because I'd had a previous cesarean section and it was so recent, I was put under the care of a consultant. But from day one, I was very adamant that I wanted to try for a vaginal birth this time. And I wanted to avoid induction and avoid cesarean section as much as I could. I felt after the birth of my oldest daughter, I had a little bit of sort of PTSD a little bit, and I definitely had some negative feelings around it, hence why I then went on to do my hypnobirthing training. And since then, I've worked with so many women who have felt very similar to how I did. So I was put under a consultant, and I discussed with my doctor the birth that I'd hoped for and things that I felt sort of stopped me from getting the birth I wanted first time round. Unfortunately, the consultant was not on board at all with the things that I wanted. So I really wanted movement and to be able to sort of move around as much as I want, not to be strapped up, not to have a cannula, not to be monitored. I just wanted freedom to move. And the doctor really didn't want that. The doctor wanted me to be on the bed, monitored the whole time, to be induced if I don't go into labour by 41 weeks, cannula fitted, just the opposite of what I felt would give me the best chance of a natural birth. So I felt a bit disheartened at that, but it was quite early on my first appointment, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to worry too much just yet. And as the pregnancy went on, I had a couple more appointments, and actually I saw a different doctor each time I had an appointment, which was really unhelpful because you're having to explain everything from, you know, the start again. And I knew the consultants would be very cautious and want me to be in hospital and labour there and be under sort of observation throughout. And I sort of decided, okay, I think I want a home birth. You know, I'm going to talk to my husband about it and see what he thinks. And we discussed it, and he was a little unsure. And I think I was actually at the beginning when we first started discussing. And I decided I'm going to do a lot more research into it and read a little bit more about it to help me make a decision. And I read everything about home birth. I listened to every home birth story on every podcast I could, to anyone I knew who had had a home birth. I read so many medical journals and articles. And just really informed myself. I did an online course as well about having a home birth after a previous cesarean. I got my husband to do that course. I also did a refresher hypnobirthing course, which sounds a bit strange that I'm actually a hypnobirthing teacher, but I still went on a course with somebody else just to sort of build that confidence up and, you know, have another someone else to support me as well. I also made my husband do one of my hypnobirthing courses. So we've just felt fully prepared and, you know, informed and ready to make the best choice for us. And we really were on board with the home birth. My husband couldn't wait to have a home birth after he'd done the courses with me and the courses with other people as well. So I went into my next sort of midwife appointment adamant, this is what I want. I've got no risk factors other than the previous cesarean. I know the chances of a uterine rupture. You know, I'm happy to take that chance because it's so low. And I know a home birth will bring me so many more positives that will give me a higher chance of having a natural birth. And luckily, the midwives were really on board and quite supportive. But they said to me I needed to speak to the consultant so that they can sign off on it. I had another consultant appointment, and I actually had a really lovely supportive consultant, probably the only one I've ever met who's been supportive of my wishes. Don't know if that's just a personal experience or if others have found that, but she was a junior doctor and she was really positive about it, and that really helped build a bit of confidence in me. So Home birth was arranged with the midwives. They came out and assessed my home. We discussed the plan and what might mean we would need to go into hospital, what would mean a transfer was needed. And we just went through everything together, and it just felt really positive and supportive, and it became quite real after speaking to the midwives in my home. We decided I wanted to be in the water, so I hired a birth pool as well. And when that came, it became very real as well. We did a little test dry run and pumped it up. So we had everything ready to go and feeling pretty positive about it. And my due date came. I went to 42 weeks with my oldest daughter, so I sort of was pretty ready to go over. And I know the percentage of babies that are actually born on their due date, so I tried not to focus on it too much and just go with it. But my due date came, and I really hadn't felt like I was anywhere near labour. I'd had a few Braxton Hicks, but I'd been having them for probably the whole of the third trimester, but nothing felt like it was sort of that close to labour, really. And I was offered a suite with my midwife, and I said no at that point because I just didn't feel ready. And I didn't want to have the suite and the midwife tell me that I was nowhere near, and that sort of put a downer on me. So I said no, but I did end up having a consultant appointment, and I had a really negative consultant who really I hadn't even told him I wanted a home birth. I just told him I wanted to go for a natural birth, and he was not on board. And he was really dismissive of my wishes and of my choices that I'd made and what I wanted. He questioned my mental health because I'd mentioned I had a bit of PTSD from my previous labor. He questioned my mental health and told me I need an induction booking, or if I don't have an induction booked in, I need to have a cesarean, because my mental health wouldn't cope with the unknown. And I felt really unsupported, and just that he was not listening to anything I had to say. And obviously I've been going to these appointments alone. I also felt like he probably wouldn't have spoken to me in that way if my husband had been with me. And that was really upsetting. And the NHS, all the care I've had has been wonderful, but I just really felt pretty down after that appointment. And he booked in an induction for me for, I think it was 13 days past due date. He booked my induction in. I told him I didn't want him to, and I wouldn't be turning up on that day. I wanted labour to happen spontaneously. So, you know, don't pencil me in, but I'm not coming. I felt a bit down after that, and I came out really upset and actually crying, you know, in the car, that I felt like my dream of my home birth was slipping away a little bit. And I was only one day past my due date at this point. But luckily I spoke to my midwife, and she was really lovely and said, okay, let's see how you go. Just chill out, stay at home, try and let labor start spontaneously. And if, you know, in a week or two's time it hasn't started, come in and we'll just check everything. Give another scan, check baby's okay and you're okay, and we can make a decision from there. And that really helped, and it made me feel a lot more relaxed. So 41 weeks rolled round, and I had started to feel the contractions. Well, the Braxton Hicks get a little stronger, and I felt it more in my back and in my pelvis. And, you know, I really felt like things were potentially happening. So I decided to have a sweep at 41 weeks. So I went to that appointment, I had the sweep, and the midwife said to me, I was already 3 centimeters, and she really thought things were going to happen soon. So I put all that induction worry and the dates that I had in my mind that I might have to be induced on just away, and decided not to think about that. And I think the sweep helped, but honestly, I think that midwife told me, do not worry about induction. You're not going to get induced. You're going to go into spontaneous labor soon. I think that is what actually helped me relax and just go with it and not have that stress and worry. Because that night I came home and we just did our normal routine. We had our food, we went to bed pretty early actually that night, and I woke up at 1 a.m. with contractions. At the time I was in a little bit of denial that they were contractions, which is just ridiculous because I'm 41 weeks pregnant, I'd had a sweep, I'd given birth a year before, I know what contractions feel like. But for some reason, I thought, oh, these Braxton Hicks feel really different. That's really strange. And they were coming every 6 minutes. But I was trying not to time them too much because, again, I was in denial. I was in labour. And my husband was, you know, jumped up out of bed like, shall I pump the pool up? Shall we, you know, ring your mum to come and have our daughter? And I was like, no, it's just Braxton Hicks. It's nothing. It's just weird pregnancy niggles. You know, it's fine. And within 20 minutes of saying that, I started to time the contractions and they were coming a bit quicker. And the only way I felt comfortable was to be on my hands and knees. And I did think, okay, this might be the real deal now. So I said to my husband, just ring my mom and tell her to come in the morning, like early hours of the morning, maybe 5, 6 a.m., because I don't think anything's going to happen that quick. And my daughter was asleep anyway. So he did, he made that call. And I just timed the contractions. I just stayed in my bedroom, put my diffuser on, had low lighting. And the contractions started to come a bit quicker and started to get a little stronger. So I think 10 minutes after my husband rang my mum to tell her, like, we think things are going ahead, but don't rush over, come in the morning. He was like, you need to come now. things are definitely happening. So my mum came over and my husband started to fill the pool up and get everything ready downstairs where we planned to have the birth. And I put my TENS machine on at that point. And honestly, that was amazing. It really, really helped me. So I had that on and I was just on all fours on my bed in my bedroom. And my mum came and she just rubbed my back. And in my mind, she rubbed my back for maybe 20 minutes. But I realized afterwards it was probably like 3.5 hours that she just stood there silently rubbing my back. And I was always a bit unsure if I would want my mum there, because I didn't want her to worry about me and then that affect me. But she was just so quiet and calm and she didn't say a word really to me. And I just labored like that for quite a while. We'd rang the hospital to tell them where we were at and where our contractions were at. They were coming probably like 3 minutes apart, lasting about a minute when we called. And I was able to breathe through them and I used a lot of the hypnobirthing techniques. I was using something called up breathing at this point, and that really helped me. I was also swaying on my hands and knees as well. So we had called and they sent the midwife out to me. So the first midwife arrived at about 4:30. So I'd only been in labor for 3.5 hours at this point. So she sort of came into the bedroom and she was lovely and kind, and her name was Joy, and she was just so sweet. And she said, you know, do you want me to check you? You know, if you want to get in the pool, shall we check you before you get in? Is that something you want? And I wasn't sure if I would want vaginal checks or not, but I thought, yeah, check me before I get in, just to give me a bit of an idea of how long I might have left. I was coping pretty well, but I just wanted to know that number. And I thought, maybe I'm 5, 6 centimeters. If I started off at 3, I've been laboring for 3.5 hours, maybe I'm 6 centimeters. That would be pretty positive. And she checked me and said, oh wow, you are 9 centimeters with a bulging bag, you need to get downstairs and get in your pool quick. And I honestly could not believe I had got in 3.5 hours to 9 centimeters with just the TENS machine and my mum. You know, I honestly could not believe it. I was treating myself like this was my first labor almost, because with the cesarean previously it took me maybe 8.5 hours to get to 6 centimeters, and that was with the Pitocin drip. So I was just so shocked. But getting downstairs felt pretty tough. I felt the only position I could be in was on my hands and knees, and the contractions were coming pretty quick and I just needed to get downstairs. So I had a contraction and then I ran down the stairs as fast as I could, and my husband was like almost trying to support me and help me get down, but I was like, move, I need to get down there quick. So we came downstairs and I jumped in the pool. I was scared to take the TENS machine off because it had got me so far. I was like, me and this guy have done so well, if I take him off it might all go wrong, but obviously you need to take it off to get in the pool. But luckily I got in the pool and it felt amazing. That relief of the water was just incredible. And my husband had put all like my fairy lights out and a diffuser on and candles lit and just made the room so lovely and relaxing and just exactly what I wanted. So yeah, I got in the pool at about 5 a.m. and I had asked for some gas and air even though I felt like I didn't need it at that point, I thought I'm probably going to need this at some point. So let's just, you know, get it ready, basically. And I just, again, hands and knees, sort of hands over the side of the pool on my knees. And I just was pretty quiet. As soon as I got in the pool, I didn't really make much noise. I was using the gas and air to get through contractions. Again, still using the up-breathing technique. And I just kept thinking to myself, just let the process happen. Just trust the process and let this happen. And that's sort of like the affirmation I'd said to myself throughout my pregnancy. And I had a lot of worries that, you know, my body didn't do it last time. Will it fail me almost again this time? And I really had to tell myself, no, I was built for this. Just trust in yourself, in your baby, in the process. And that's just what I kept telling myself over and over again, just trust the process. And it was amazing that I could feel everything happening. Like I could feel my muscles, my uterus working, and the things I teach in my classes, the science behind birth, I could feel them happening. And that was just incredible. And pretty soon after getting in the pool, I started to feel the natural urge to push a little bit. And the first time that happened, it sort of took me by surprise. And I think I had that like adrenaline spike because I'd been so quiet. And then all of a sudden I shouted, I'm pushing. And all the midwives were like, that's okay. You know, you can push if you want to, like do what you need to do. And I don't know why it took me by surprise, because I know that that's going to happen. I know I'm going to push at some point, but I think I just, that feeling of your body naturally trying to push your baby just sort of shocked me a little. So then I started to feel a little bit more pushy, and I did keep saying to the midwives, but my waters still haven't broken. And, you know, I was expecting them to have gone by now. And again, the midwives were just lovely and calm and like, that's okay, you know. And I know sometimes waters don't break till very last minute or not at all. But I think I just thought, come on, if my waters break, it's going to happen really quick after that. So, yes, I was pushing and I thought, oh, I think I can feel the head. And the midwives had a little look and they said, oh, it's actually your bag of waters is really bulging. I think they'll go pretty soon. And after, I don't know, a few more contractions, they sort of said, okay, would you like us to break your waters for you and see if that, you know, gets things going a little bit more? And I said, yes, I did. Even though I was pretty adamant I didn't want intervention unless it was absolutely necessary, I just felt like that was, you know, what I needed to do at that point. So on the next contraction, they broke the waters and the waters were clear, because I had a worry about meconium being in the water and that meaning we have to go in. So I was pretty happy and relieved that the waters were clear. And then I really felt the baby move down into my pelvis a lot more, and the pushing was becoming a lot stronger. And honestly, people keep saying to me, like, was it painful? Did it hurt? It didn't. It wasn't pain. The only way I can describe it is that it was so intense. The feeling that like my body was opening up and my pelvis was opening up and my baby was moving down. I could feel all those things and it just felt amazing and crazy. I started to make a little bit of noise once the pushing and the crowning was happening, not from pain, just from like, I don't know where it came from, like deep down in my chest, this amazing sound was coming out of me that I could not do again if I tried. Yeah, and I felt the baby's head and I feel it was coming, and I was actively pushing at this point as well. But I kept feeling the baby come down and then go back up between the contractions. And I knew this happens and I know why it happens. And I know actually it's quite a good thing to help stretch out, you know, your perineum so you don't damage yourself. But I was getting quite frustrated and I said to the midwife, why does it keep going back in? It's nearly there. Why? And she was saying, it's okay. It's normal. And that happened quite a few times. And it was quite annoying. I kept thinking, come on, like, what have you forgotten? Just come out. Come on. And then eventually the head was born. And that was just amazing. I felt myself open up and then open up some more. And I thought, there's no way I can open up anymore. And I did. And yeah, the baby's head was out. And then I had 3.5 minutes before the body came out, which just seems so long for the head to be there. And I could feel her head, and I could feel her head rotate round as well. And the midwife was saying, I can see the baby's face. And I just thought, that's crazy because it's still inside of me. And at that point, my mum had, she'd been in the bedroom with my daughter the whole time I'd been downstairs and in the pool. I think she just thought she'd stay out of the way. And at that point, she'd come and sat on the top step and was looking down through the banister of the stairs. So she sort of watched me deliver the head. And at that point, my daughter woke up. I didn't hear any of this, but my mum went and got her and brought her and sat with the step on the step with her as well. So my mum and my daughter were watching through the banister. And then I was holding my husband's hand and I just thought, oh, my God, like this next push and our baby is going to be here. And I did it. Like I did it. I had a natural birth at home and all those doctors told me I couldn't and I did it. And it was amazing to have those 3 minutes because I could think these things and sort of really savor that moment. And the next contraction and she was out and the midwife said to me, okay, turn around and pick your baby up. You know, they didn't touch me or the baby once. I turned around and I lifted her out the water. I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, which is why I keep saying it. But I picked her up and she was just so tiny and slimy and slippery. I couldn't work out which way was up or down. And for the majority of this time, I'd had my eyes closed. So it took me a minute to sort of like work out where I was and what I was doing. And I saw the cord sort of wrapped around her neck and around her body. And I couldn't work out how to unwrap her. So I sort of said to the midwife, please help me. I mean, she was already helping me do it. I had that quick panic. Again, I know sometimes cords around the neck and it's fine. It doesn't mean baby can't breathe and it just takes a second. But I had that little panic then. And I put her on my chest. And then I think the midwife must have said, what is it? What is it? And I thought, it's a baby. And obviously she meant, what's the sex? So I held her out and me and my husband both saw and said, it's a girl. And then I looked up and saw my daughter and my mum on the top step. And that just filled me with tears. And I was just so proud of myself and just felt amazing. I could not believe I had done it and I'd pushed that baby out and I did it all on my own. And the midwives were just so wonderful. It could not have gone any better. So she was born at 7:45 a.m. So it was 6 hours, 45 minutes labor from start to finish, which just blew my mind as well. And my husband was just so lovely. Like when I was pushing, he was just telling me like, you're doing so well. And he was holding my hand and he was just so supportive and just, yeah, it was amazing. Just such a positive, amazing experience. So after baby was born, I decided to wait for the placenta to come naturally. I wasn't opposed to having the injection, but I'd sort of said like, let's just see, give it an hour and see. But my contractions completely stopped. I had no urge to push. I didn't feel any pressure or contractions or anything. So I was trying to push, but nothing was happening. And I think I was pushing in my face and nowhere else. My husband had taken a few photos and I realized that I was really pushing with my eyebrows and my cheeks and like my stiff jaw, but not actually probably doing any sort of pushing down there. So yeah, we tried a few different positions and then decided to get out of the pool to see if the placenta would come then, and it still didn't. So I was happy then to have the hormone injection that then 5 minutes later, the placenta came and it was absolutely huge. And the cord was so long. It was crazy. I never got to see these things with my previous birth. So I was so interested. And it was just, yeah, incredible that that was inside me for all that time. The midwives then just said, let's give you a little check and see if you need any stitches or anything. And I really hadn't felt like I had torn or done any damage when I was in labor and when I birthed her. But they said, oh yeah, you have a little bit of a tear. We're not sure if it's a second or third degree tear, but we'd like you, you know, to go into the hospital just to get it checked, because if it is a third degree, you might need to go into theater to have it stitched. And I was quite happy to go in. The midwives were so apologetic that I'd done everything at home and then needed to go into the hospital for stitches. But I was pretty happy. And I said to them, you know, having stitches on your body is a medical procedure. I'd rather be in a hospital and where there's bright lights and it's sterile to have a medical procedure. And I think my mom was like, but you just had a baby at home. And I was like, yeah, mom, that's not a medical procedure. You know, that's natural, mom. And she was like, oh, okay, right. So yes, we went into hospital and luckily my husband could come. Obviously at the moment, lots of people are going in on their own and they're not able to bring their birth partners. But luckily my husband, he drove in the car and I went in an ambulance, which I felt ridiculous in because I was, honestly, I've never felt better. Everyone kept saying, are you okay? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I feel wonderful. I feel amazing. So yeah, an ambulance came. That was just sort of the protocol. And I rode in the ambulance with my little girl and my husband followed. And when we got there, I just felt on top of the world. It was amazing. And the midwife who met us at the hospital, she'd sort of been told that this patient potentially has a third degree tear, might possibly just second degree, you know, can you check it out and see? And the midwife was so lovely. She just sort of looked at me and I walked in, carried my baby, sat down, you know, I was fine. She was like, I can tell you right now without even looking at your vagina, you have not got a third degree tear. And she was just so kind and lovely. And she checked me out and it was just second degree. So she could just do local anesthetic and stitch me up there and then. I must say the stitches hurt a little more than I had anticipated. So I had some gas and air. And honestly, the most noise I made throughout the whole thing was having my stitches. So yeah, the stitches were a little sore having them done. But it was over pretty quick. And I was still sort of on a oxytocin high from my birth. So it was all good. And we were in and out the hospital pretty quickly, like within an hour. So then we just got back in the car and we came home. And yeah, it was just lovely to be at home and have my baby, and the birth pool was still up in the living room. So then my husband had to deal with that. And my brother had come round actually to sort of like obviously meet the new baby and also to help my mum look after my daughter. And he is very, very squeamish and really scared of blood. So I think he opened the door and came in and just absolutely panicked and was horrified at what he saw. So that was quite funny when I saw his face. But yeah, it was just lovely. We just then chilled out at home with both my girls. And yeah, it's just been incredible. And I still feel so positive and on a high about it now. So yeah, that was the birth of my little girl, Stevie.
Well done. I am super proud of you. And I know that we're kind of living in some crazy times. So yeah. I'm curious to know if I know that you had to go, you did mention that you had to go to your appointments. You call it a consultant. Is that right?
Yeah.
You go to the, you had to go to those appointments alone. But when you like checked in with your midwife and such, did you, were you allowed to take your partner with you, or was that something?
No, unfortunately not. So my partner was able to go to my 12-week scan, and I think that was in the February. So then after that point, when COVID sort of really hit the UK, that was it then, and we were all in lockdown. So after that point, he was not able to come to any appointments with me. So that was a little sad and a bit tough, especially like I'd had previous losses. And one of those losses we found out at a scan. So I was always very nervous about going to scans, and then going on my own just added to that stress, really. So, yeah, that was, it was a little sad. And I felt like, you know, my partner was not as involved as I would like. And but we tried to make up for it, you know, doing lots of courses together and reading things and listening to things together. So we tried to do that, really.
I was curious on how the UK is handling this versus the US, which it sounds like we're, you know, everybody's kind of dealing with it pretty similarly. I too gave birth right as the pandemic really hit over here. I always had to go to my appointments alone anyways, because my husband was gone. But a lot of women that I follow, you know, have been really devastated having to, you know, deal with this by themselves. And so I loved what you said about, you know, you guys kind of just tried to make up for it and make the best of it, and try not to let it get you down too much. but I'm so happy that everything went so well and you were able to get your home birth. So that is fantastic. Is there anything else that you want to add?
I think the only thing, I probably said this last time as well, is just anyone who is pregnant, whether you've had a previous birth or this is your first baby, just educate yourself and find out your options and the statistics and the evidence behind all the options available to you. Because I think, especially in the UK, it's very easy to be put on a conveyor belt of care where, you know, a doctor will see on my notes that I've had a previous cesarean and they will put me down a specific route of care without knowing anything else about me, without talking to me, without giving me all the options. And I mean, really, they're supposed to, but that doesn't happen that often in my experience. And it's quite easy to just say yes to everything. The same, I think, what I did in my first birth, that was sort of the mistake I made. I assumed that that was the best thing because that's what the midwife or the doctor told me. So I just said yes, yes, yes. And actually afterwards, I really sort of regretted some of the decisions I made. And if I'd have known about the other options I had available, maybe I'd have made a different choice. So I just want people to educate themselves, find out as much as you can about birth, about the science behind birth, why things happen, why things don't always happen, and just really feel informed before you make a decision. And I think the best thing I did this time round was not make any decisions there and then. Obviously, going to these appointments alone, there were certain times where I was asked to make a decision about a sweep or about if I wanted another cesarean or if what date my induction would be. And I just kept saying, I need to discuss this with my husband. So I'm going to go home and talk to him and I will call you tomorrow. And that was the best thing I did, because even if I had the decision made in my head, I just felt like I wanted to go away and just really make sure that's what I wanted before saying yes or no. And most of the midwives were really lovely and fine about me sort of saying that, and they didn't have anything negative to say. I don't think the consultants liked that as much. I don't think people say no to them that often. But yeah, definitely don't make decisions on the spot. Educate yourself and probably do a hypnobirthing course, because honestly, I know I'm biased and I'm going to say that, but man, it helped me so much. The techniques that I used through my labor were just invaluable to me. It was amazing. So yeah.
Perfect. Well, fabulous advice. If anybody is looking for information on hypnobirthing, I'm sure Frankie will be more than happy to help you out with that. I will make sure that I link her information in the notes and on social media so you're able to find her. But I want to just thank you so much for taking the time out of your day and sharing your wonderful story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Hey, y'all. That's all the time we have for this episode, but be sure to catch up on all of our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you or someone you know are interested in being a guest on our show, find us on Instagram at From Bumps to Birth, or you can message me, Ricky Hamley, on Facebook. Thank you so much for your support and listening. And until next time, I am your host, Ricky Hamley.